All right, I am recording.
Gundamu.
All right, hello, and welcome to the return of Superhuman Samurai Cyberpod. I'm Amuro Rob.
I guess I'm a Frau Jen. No, I want to be Sayla. She's not in there yet, though. I'm Jen.
I'm David Sheedin, I guess.
That's fair. That's fair. Ooh, do I get to be Hayato? I could be Hayato. I'm short. I am profoundly short.
Anyway, they're not in this.
So yeah, so this is our journey through Gundam Quacks, or G-Quacks, the current Gundam series, which I believe is this the weekend of the finale?
Yeah, the last episode
should be dropping the episode, timing-wise, like, I'm trying to get it, like, this episode comes out when the last episode airs on Ma Tuesday, Tuesday.
It needs more. It can't just only have one episode left. There's too much.
After the last one, I think, yes, they can. They kind of have to.
Okay, I guess that's fair. That was kind of a mic drop.
Not saying that they couldn't have G-Quacks Zeta.
They should have G-Quacks Zeta.
But, like, the story we're doing right now is definitely 12 episodes long.
I suppose.
And it's wrapping up shit.
Now, last week, we were introduced to Machu and her pal, Neon.
Yeah.
And they are not appearing in this episode.
Nope. It's time for the flashback.
We are flashing back.
I guess we can mention how the movie was, since you saw that too, Jen.
Yes. When they did
there's also a movie?
Well,
yeah.
It's more of a theatrical special.
Oh, right. It's like the episode sort of stitched together.
Yeah,
it's a theatrical special in the way that Japan likes to do these things. So I guess because they figured people who were going to go see a Gundam thing at the theater were, like, serious fans. Mm-hmm. Whereas people watching on TV might need a little more convincing. They put the flashback stuff at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, that's the first half of the movie.
And then had the first two episodes of the, we'll say, quote, present day stuff.
Yeah.
As the rest of the movie.
The flashback stuff in the movie was mostly this episode and a little bit that comes in episode 8 or something later.
Yeah, there'll be half an episode of flashback a little later.
Okay, to fully contextualize me in what is going on here, you guys also made me watch the what I think is the very first ever episode of Gundam.
Yes, the first episode of the first Gundam from the 70s. Well, the end of the 70s.
Yes, this is the Gundam.
And boy, can you tell.
This is the Gundam equivalent of the Transformers episode where they're back on Cybertron and Bumblebee's got his little spaceship mode and they're loading up energy rods and Soundwave turns into the box.
Also, it's kind of the equivalent of just replaying the hits from the movie.
Yeah. But yes, this is... Yeah, the intro is... incredibly and profoundly 70s. It's amazing.
Oh, yeah, yes. I was expecting something a little more serious.
Well, that's the thing. Rob, before the original Gundam in 1979, there were no real robot shows. Everything was super robot.
Right.
This original Gundam created a new genre. Well, subgenre. Okay.
Right.
Of robot shows. So... the theme song is as silly as every other mecha theme song before it.
Okay.
And yeah, it's your Gigantor, Tetsujin 28, and your Raidene, and
Mazingers, Getter Robos, all that
yes.
stuff.
Yes, so...
So the theme song didn't quite get the vibe of the rest of the show.
Yes.
The rest of the music, though, is great.
It was
very
so
70s.
So the subsequent Gundam series have less goofy theme songs?
Less 70s ones.
Once people realize that robots could indeed be serious business.
I mean, Zeta's is a very, like, mid to late 80s
Zeta
anime.
Has two.
Yeah, and they're...
Well, one of the Zeta theme songs is also a Neil Sedaka song, kind of.
Oh, wow.
Well, the basic music is taken from a Neil Sedaka song. I forget what song it is.
But also by, like, the mid to late 80s, anime was starting to be a little more serious in Japan anyway. So it was, you know, a fairly standard anime opening, but also your anime openings were more, like, I don't know, serious stuff. Lensman. Oh, man. That's CG yeah. in Lensman.
Well, just go to, you've heard of Robotech, fuck you, Harmony Gold. Macross
yes.
was heavily inspired by Gundam to be a more serious military in space with aliens.
It's not
right.
as show. Serious. It's still a little...
No.
I've started watching Macross 7 again, and yeah, Macross is
yeah, I mean, I guess from my,
way hornier than Gundam is.
From my Ameri-centric perspective, I kind of think of like Robotech / Macross as like the... as I think of that as sort of the first sort of military giant mecha space thing.
Nope, that was
but obviously,
like fifth or something,
right.
maybe?
It was the first one to...
like there was original Gundam and Votom.
It was the first one to be picked up in the U.S.
Yeah, kind of surprising they didn't... Kind of surprising they didn't try with Gundam.
Well,
is it time to bring up Doozy Bots?
Well, I mean, we mentioned Doozy Bots, but even Doozy Bots, that's like early 90s, so that's post-Robotech.
Well, the problem with, like, direct dubbing Gundam is there's a lot of death, and it's about war.
Yeah.
So it's a little
It
harder.
Probably would have been a lot harder to make Gundam appeal, because as I mentioned, I think, in the last episode, like, there's a lot of characters dying. There's a lot of characters who show up for, like, two episodes. I mean, in this episode, in that first episode, Frau Bo loses her entire family. So, like, it's... They might have had some trouble getting that even, like, past the censors.
Yeah, even if you're doing, like, heavy Robotech editing, you're gonna lose episodes in there somewhere.
Yeah.
So I wasn't quite sure. So is that Amuro's sister?
No, she is basically his childhood friend.
Yeah.
Okay. And they kept calling her Frau, which just made me think she was German.
Yeah,
but it's actually her name.
At the beginning of the dub, they did seem to be struggling a little bit with what was full names and what was surnames and what was given names.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because you have Bright Noah, and it's the
you would think
opposite
Noah
way you
would be
think.
His given name because that's a given name, and so you'd think,
right.
Oh, it's just Japanese style and the surname is first, but no, apparently his given name is Bright and his last name is Noah. It's like it was a little the translation team had some a little bit of a rough start with it, just figuring out what names were supposed to be.
Yeah. Anyway, we're not entirely going over the original episode of the 1 year War Gundam.
Yeah, so...
But it was informative for Rob for the rest of this.
Yeah,
I certainly had no idea what was... I watched this thing... I watched the G-Quux episode first, and I had no idea that it was going to be like a... Well, here's what could have happened.
Yes.
Yeah.
But here's what really happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very much an homage to the original series.
Loving one-for-one shots with new mecha designs.
Yeah.
And it's
kind
of...
swapped out protagonist.
Yeah, so basically, in the original, they just send three dudes into this colony to steal, or to look around at event and stumble upon this new mobile suit.
Yeah, basically, there's obviously been a lot of military activity. There's a new ship that just docked in what is allegedly a civilian colony, so
neutral colony.
They wanted to. They're scouting it out, basically.
So before this, did like is this Gundam the was it the RX-7 or something?
RX-78-2.
RX-78. Okay, I guess I'm thinking of the Mazda.
that's fair.
So is it the first ever Federation mobile suit?
It is. Yes. Yeah, yes and no, because there's also the RX-76, which is the gun tank, which Hayato ends up, the short guy who Fraubo was talking to, that he ends up piloting, which is, it's really cute. It's super dumpy, because it's got, it doesn't have legs, it has, like, treads. Yeah. So.
Okay, I think I've seen those in things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there was so the gun
cannon was technically designed first.
Yeah.
But then then they figured out, oh, we can make these things walk, so you get the gun cannon. But then they figured out, oh, we can make a better one, thus the Gundam. So they were sort of all built in sequence, but at the same time.
Yeah, the gun cannon was the RX-77, and I would just like to note that back in the early 2000s, when we were really getting our first flood of Gundam stuff, my Neon had custom plates that said RX-77, and there was someone else in my neighborhood who had plates that said Gyan, and I was like, oh shit, do we have to fight? Do we have to be enemies? Because that's a Zeon mobile suit.
I didn't realize I was living in the Weeb district.
Yeah, well, yeah, apparently Fairfax County, Virginia was a Weeb hotbed at the time. So,
okay,
the gun cannon was slightly better, but it's really kind of, it does not have anything close. It's humanoid, but it doesn't have nearly the maneuverability of the actual Gundam.
Yeah.
Okay. And
basically, they were all finished at the same time, so.
I love the gun cannon, and I love its pilot.
I also wasn't aware that those are the only ones you call Gundams. I thought they were all called Gundams.
No.
Yeah, no.
Because, when
that's like calling every robot a Transformer.
Yes.
No. Oh. Okay.
It's okay.
And another...
Well, the problem is, like, later series, like Gundam Wing, there's more Gundams per series.
And the Earth Federation is not generally known to have mobile suits.
Correct. No, Zeon
got there first.
Really started the mobile suit thing.
Yeah,
so.
In the year this takes place.
Yeah.
In that case, I do have a bit of a question.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then how can you get into this colony via a hatch that has, like, a bunch of big handles made for big robot hands?
You know, I think the answer to that is probably implied later in the series when we get to the ball.
Oh, yes, balls.
Which it's basically a maintenance vehicle.
Okay.
And it is literally a ball, and it's got two little, like, power loader arms.
Manipulator arm things.
You know, doing work on colonies and stuff out in space. But they put a cannon on it at one point, and
yes. It sort of looks like there's
military units.
There's a thing that looks like it in 2001.
Yeah.
Oh, the little, the pods with the robot arms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they do have, like, vehicles, like, maintenance vehicles and stuff that probably would have been using these hatches.
Okay, because otherwise that probably should have been a big hint to these guys getting in.
That's fair.
Well, yeah, basically they're using the service entrance for repair vehicles and shuttles.
Yes, they're using the garage entrance.
Okay.
Because there's entrances big enough to fly ships in.
But there have always been ships. But yes, this is there. There have been other small, you know, maintenance vehicles and stuff with little arms.
All right. So
that's your no prize.
So in the original continuity, they just sent three dudes in these Zekos.
Yes, but three different dudes, kind of.
Well, two. One's different dude.
Well, definitely one. Yeah, weren't at least one of the dudes is the same, like the fat guy.
Yeah, Slender and Denim are the same guys.
Oh, their
also,
names.
Why is the one guy named Denim?
I don't know.
Is he just like rocking a Canadian tuxedo under that jumpsuit?
Because the two guys that go in G-Quokes are Slender and Denim.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And the other guy is Jean.
Yes.
Oh.
They're all pants.
Oh, God.
Slender jeans, Denim jeans, and Jean jeans.
We're not
Took me quite, decades to realize
we're
that.
We're not quite at the Raditz and Bardock level of naming, but...
Well, no, they're not all vegetables, but they're all jeans.
Yeah, it's still pretty bad.
Like, I don't think any other character group in Gundam, or at least in the original Gundam, does
that. Silly theme names. Yeah,
but the first three grunts are named after pants.
If they brought, like, a fourth guy, he would have been, I don't know, boot cut or something.
Slacks.
Cargo.
Chino.
Oh, God, we can make an entire other team with names.
Yes. Chino.
Actually, Cargo is a good Transformer name.
Oh. Anyway, so originally they send three dudes. In this what if, they send two dudes and their best guy, Chara's Nabel.
Yes, because Gene, his Zaku, is messed up and they're fixing it.
So it's kind of like a for want of a nail kind of thing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One little thing, and here you go.
Although it's kind of weird that, well, this random dude is sick. Let's send our best guy with his, like, custom-painted mech here.
Well, he can't...
Okay, boss, whatever you say.
He is the boss.
Well, this is true.
He is the boss.
Although I do like how, like, a lot of, you know, there's sort of a standardized anime face these days.
Mm-hmm.
And then this one fat dude absolutely does not have that. Like, this guy looks like he's from anime from 1979.
Yes.
Right. In the 70s, there was a little bit more variety.
Mm-hmm.
It is kind of funny that you can tell when a character, like, what's her name? Seamus, or whatever it was, shows up later, and she's, like, clearly a character who is from the original series. It's like, okay, yeah.
I assume Seamus is from Metroid.
No. I mean, she could be. She's just some lady.
Oh, the lady that hangs out with Shalia.
Yeah, the lady who hangs out with Shalia.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they bust into this space colony, and they're originally just looking for this spaceship that looks like a rocking horse.
Yeah.
Question mark.
That's just It's always in the original series. I mean, it's technically called the White Base, but everyone is constantly commenting on how it looks like a Pegasus or a rocking horse or a Trojan horse or...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it is a Trojan horse.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I think that the calling it rocking horse in English, like, that was a more recent thing, which honestly makes more sense than some of the old shit they used to call it. Uh-huh. Because it kind of looks like a horse-ish.
Legs.
Four legs. Yeah, it just doesn't have the rockers.
Yeah.
And you could sit on it. It looks like a toy someone could sit on, at least in the original.
And so they do eventually find that, but they also find this mobile suit, which turns out is a Gundam, which is just kind of under like a big tarp.
Yeah, because they're working on it. It's not finished yet. It's not ready to go.
Yes, it's still in rollout colors, which are bright and shiny.
Yeah.
And also, again, they left the keys in the ignition, and they did not lock it before they went out.
Yes.
Yep.
I would like to note that generally Amuro is considered to be autistic coded, and I feel part of that is the fact that he reads the manual.
Yes.
Of course he reads the manual.
You get a manual and you're going to read it, because that's just how that kind of brain works. But Char.
So in the original continuity, Amuro was the guy who stumbled upon this and then immediately turned out to be like a Gundam savant.
Yes.
Yeah.
And became like the main hero guy.
Also, in kind of a almost a super robot like tradition, his father was one of the primary engineers designing it.
Yeah, right. That's more of a holdover from older super robot stuff. Yes, we even see him in the news show.
And you know, I always felt robbed because my father was like doing science stuff and I never got to be a superhero or have a robot or any of that stuff. Oh. So that was sad. But yes, Char does not need the manual though.
No, he's like a veteran guy of doing Gundam stuff.
He did probably read the Zaku manual at some point.
Yes. He may have written the Zaku manual.
That's likely.
At this point, he's already blown up 3 capital ships.
Yeah.
By himself.
He has a whole... He knows what he's doing.
Mm-hmm. So he ends up taking this, and he takes this suit and is like, hey, this thing's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Fights this other Gundam that comes out. Is this like a known Gundam that he fights here, like with the big cannons on it?
Yeah, this is the new this universe's design for the gun cannon. Okay. And I was very excited to see it show up because, again, I am a noted gun cannon appreciator. So I was like, yes, gun cannon.
And it's cute. It's very one shall stand, one shall fall. So much of the dialogue from this episode is from the original Gundam.
Ah.
Also, I do like that he... So Char gets in there, and he pulls up the schematics on the screen, and he's looking over it, and he, you know, notes that it's called Gundam. And he says, it's tasteless, much like the Federation. I'm like, okay, sorry it's not called the Big Zam, or the Gelgoog, or the Kikiroga, or your ridiculous Zeon. Suit names.
Yeah, silly names.
Not called the Zacrella. Like, I love
it's so
that
to the
he's,
point and describes what
I
it
love
is.
That he's gonna get a dig in on its name when he is from the faction noted for having really stupid names.
Yeah, why couldn't they name this something normal like Zagok?
Exactly.
I should have called it Gelgoog. I wrote in Gelgoog on the robot.
Federation is tasteless. And they just call things Gundam. Like, okay, Char, calm down.
And imagine if he got in the gun tank, he would have been so insulted he would have got right back out. Yes.
And I guess the question is does Gundam mean something to him, or is it just like a made-up word, unlike in Japanese?
I think it's just that it's a made-up word, but I mean, gun is, he probably just sees that as, you know, being gun, like we have named this weapon.
That's cheesy.
So he pretty quickly busts this thing out, messes up this gun cannon.
It's in the next fight where Gallant Char plays his theme song.
Oh, I didn't realize that was his theme song. I just thought it was just like regular music.
The one where he's using the beam saber.
R.I.P. Okay. Whoever was in that gun cannon. We do not find out who was in that gun cannon.
No, it's just some random military guy.
And I guess the beam saber is also something that the Zeons do initially not have, but I assume they eventually get them in regular continuity.
Yes.
They primarily...
Originally, they just start out with the Heat Hawk, which is an axe with like a, I don't know, monofilament edge or some shit.
Yes. I
know that they got...
Like a heated axe.
Like if one guy has a lightsaber, you have to have a second guy with a lightsaber so they can have a lightsaber fight.
Yes.
Yes.
They do eventually get a little more equally matched, but the Gundam was the first to be using that kind of beam technology for it.
Okay. So he totally messes everything up. He just he decapitates this rocking horse ship by just straight up punching into the bridge.
Yeah, that's pretty messed up.
With the beam saber. Yeah.
That was wild. That was really messed up.
So, naturally, of course, his first order of business is to paint this thing red.
Of course. It can't just not be red.
After they escape, and he has a fight against the RX-78-1.
Yes.
Okay, I didn't know this one either. This is also like a known Gundam of some sort.
In the original Gundam, like, there were 3 Mobile Suit Gundam RX-78s, the 1, the 2, and the 3, in the colony. All of them got fucked except for the 2, which is the main Gundam throughout the rest of the series.
Okay.
But in this one, their RX-78-1, the first one made, was outside in the colors it usually is painted in ancillary media, the black and white, or black and grayish.
It's not something that comes up very much.
We don't see the 3 because it blew up. No. No, it comes out in, like, model kits and things. It's like past alternate things in video games, like, oh, if the 1 had survived, and the 3, which the 3 usually becomes the full armor Gundam, I think.
Yeah. You know, with the armor.
But yeah, Char does his Char kick, which normally he does in Izaku or things, kicks it and cuts its head off, because Char's doing a MAV fight all by himself.
Also, there's so much exploding, which is also in keeping with the original Gundam series, where you just, like, look at Izaku funny and it explodes horrifically.
Yeah.
So, he's painted this thing red, and the next order of business is to recruit his boyfriend.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, there's time
strips. Next order of business is to find a boyfriend.
We're going to the Space Museum.
Yeah, so you remember how I was saying that all of this takes place in, like, the actual future of normal Earth? Here you go. Yes. They've got, like, the lunar lander and...
all the NASA stuff.
And I thought something vaguely looked like the Vipers from the old Battlestar Galactica, but that may just be, like, a kind of generic-y...
or they might have just did that for fun.
Science fiction vehicle.
I think there were some, like... there were some, like, hypothetical, like, scramjet-looking things that NASA never actually built. But yeah, and that's in Granada on the moon, talking to Flanagan of the Flanagan Institute.
And this, oh right, is this character black? I couldn't tell if he was that or if he was just kind of swarthy.
I think he was just swarthy.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I don't remember what Flanagan was supposed to be.
I was curious just because, I mean, I was thinking, you know, oh no, a black anime character in the 70s, but he might just be kind of tan.
Yeah, Gundam, the original Gundam one, sort of had some racial diversity, because future space, they did that.
Right.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't explicitly. He's darker skinned, but, yeah, I don't know if he's supposed to be black or whatever.
Okay. Yeah, and he's, you know, this guy's talking about new types, and he's very sort of transhumanist here.
Yeah.
You know, I'm really in this because I wanted to see, like, humanity evolve, so, I don't know, let's see where it goes.
So he gives Char a copy of a report on himself, suggesting that he is a new type.
So was Char born in space?
I believe so.
Okay.
I think...
because I know that's the thing, right? The new types are typically born in space, except when they're not.
Except Amro. Yeah, new types just become new types, usually in space.
Okay, because, I mean, he's the main guy, so he's got to be the specialist of guys.
Yeah, he's got to be the most special of guys.
Yeah, I guess Charles...
you would think, because he's...
was he born in the Zeon colonies, I guess? Because he's Daikin's son.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would make sense that...
he's like...
I guess it would be weird if he wasn't born in space.
No.
The son of the founder of Zeon, so presumably, okay. Yes.
Oh, yeah, and so who is actually in charge of Zeon? Is it this, like, Cobra Commander-looking lady?
She is the daughter of Degwin Zabi, who was the head of Zeon until he dies.
I like and to call him Daddy Zabi.
The Zabi family is... well, they mentioned all four of them in this movie, I think. Well, there's a fifth one who dies before the series, but he's only in Gundam Origin.
Okay.
But they mention Girin, Dozel, Kaecilia, the Cobra Commander lady, and Garma. But yeah, we only see her.
Garma okay. left the military, yeah, okay. So he survived, because he's yes. one of those characters who's in a handful of episodes and then dies. And you definitely get the vibe from his interactions with Char that at some point in college, he and Char were sucking each other's dicks.
Yep.
So they're not related.
No.
No.
I wasn't sure if they were, like, part of this big royal family or something.
No,
because the Zabis are usurpers.
Okay.
Yeah, because Char's father was, like, a philosopher or something.
Uh-huh.
Like, he wasn't... I guess he ended up sort of being political, and then he kind of started the movement that became the Zeons. But the Zabis were greedy rich assholes who wanted more power, so they knocked him off.
Okay, so let's...
and then they became the Principality of Zeon. in his
name. We're sort of doing the Nazi parallel thing here again, where these guys are like Nazis, and then Char's family are kind of like the Prussian aristocrats.
Yeah.
Sort of. In it, well,
I mean, I'm sure it's not like a one-to-one thing.
Wait, was Char nobility? I don't...
Yeah.
Oh, unless his mom was. I don't remember.
I mean, not like actual nobility, but like, you know, the former ruling class.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, the guys who were running around with dueling scarves and monocles.
Yeah. Yes. But yes, they mentioned that Garma left the military, so presumably he survived, and I hope he's... Yeah. I hope he's doing well. I hope he's up to his eyeballs in cocaine and twinks.
But also, we get mentioned Dozel dies at Solomon, as he does in the original series.
Yes, Dozel is the kind of, like, big brutish kind of...
He looks like a Frankenstein.
He does look like a Frankenstein.
Okay. Like, literally. But he's kind of a big softy.
Yes. And then the other two who are left... Garma is the youngest one, and he's definitely got, like, big youngest child energy.
Yeah.
So he was definitely just, like, wants to party and go to high society events and not have to actually fight people. So yes, he gets to leave, and then it's just Cassilia and Garen. So Cassilia is who's like the ninja.
Uh-huh.
She's not really.
So is she like? Is she like gross and scarred under there, or is she just making a fashion statement?
It's just a fashion statement.
Okay.
She's just for some reason wants to look like a ninja.
Yeah, like you. She is shown sometimes with her mask pulled down, and she just looks normal. Like maybe like she's a heavy smoker and drinker or something. But
yeah, because she looks a lot older than she is. But well, that's a lot of characters in Old Gun.
So, other than looking kind of old, she's just, like, a normal lady. She just wants to look like a ninja.
A normal lady in her mid-20s who looks like she's 40.
Yes.
So, anyway, so yeah, his next step is to recruit another new type to be his wingman slash boyfriend. And this is the sort of blue-haired mustache guy we saw in the first episode. Yes. Chalia.
Yes, the twinked-up Chalia Bull. He was in one episode of the original series, and he dies at the end of it, because Amuro is just too much of a horrible murder machine.
Yeah. Oh, and we also get jazzy music.
Yes.
Yeah, well, it's like 90s sitcom music.
I guess.
It's great.
I like that music.
So yeah, Char is like, hey, let's be new types together.
And so they do, and so, you know, they turn the tide.
Kind of, sort of, like, it's still the end of the war. The Zeons are still losing, even though Char's kicking so much ass, because they've lost lost Solomon, which got renamed Compeito by the Federation, and then the Federation decides, let's crash that into the moon.
Now, my understanding is that was typically, like, in the originals, that's like a Zeon thing, where they drop a colony.
Yep.
Yeah, usually. They sure do love to drop a colony.
So I guess this is sort of to show that they've sort of switched positions here, where now it's the Federation who's resorting to this.
Yeah, the Federation has also gotten really desperate.
So, of course, stop this thing. Access, like, Sailor Moon powers.
Yeah, basically.
It seems to be shown later that chunk is mostly in, I think it's episode 8 when we see it later.
In the next, what actually happens that leads up to his Zeknova is more in the second flashback sequence that's a little later.
Okay.
Yeah. Here it's the cliff notes.
Though also, we do get to see Makuve. Fucking Makuve.
Oh, yes,
fucking
fuck him.
I don't know what that
coded.
Is.
He's the guy who shows up very briefly who's got, like, purple hair and, like... Okay. Tan, like a very sort of, I think of like a safari outfit kind of uniform, and looks like an asshole. He just looks really punchable. And I do really appreciate that they really got going on that Big Zam program, and he's just got like loads and loads of Big Zams because they're ridiculous.
Yep.
They're the ones that are just like a UFO with giant legs.
Okay.
A clam on legs.
A clam with legs. They only built one of them in the original series, but apparently the it got ramped up a little more in this version.
So you know, Char is trying to do the whole, you know, by the power of the moon, I will defeat you. But instead, he blows up, and he blows up a whole bunch of this big starship asteroid, this big starfish asteroid.
Yep, blows a hole in it, knocks it off course.
Like, about a third of it just gone.
He's going up to that big bikini bottom in the sky.
He got too magical. He sparkled too much.
He looks like the starfish guy from SpongeBob.
Yeah.
And or I guess like Starro from DC Comics. Actually, it does kind of look like Starro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that.
It's got the big thing in the middle. So yeah, it blows up. Char also blows up, and it does not hit this colony. So this was kind of the Federation's like last good idea. So now they're just like, okay, now we're just sign a truce. So presumably they've been in sort of like Cold War ever since.
Ever since,
sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of. Well, the Federation is hit a lot harder in this version, even though Zeon is also kind of losing.
Yeah, instead of the Federation
not really sure
losing,
exactly how the Federation is doing.
Instead of the Federation winning decisively, they just sort of won more of a, I don't know,
pyrrhic victory.
I want to go with some American military semi-failures, but yeah, less World War II, more Vietnam.
And so. So now Zeon rules this colony that we saw in the last episode, and also Charlie is still looking for his missing boyfriend.
He is. Yeah. He's pining. He's pining so hard.
And then we cut to turn into episode one.
Yes.
Because in the movie, this part came first.
Right. Okay.
I'm sure they felt like if they aired this part first for the TV series, people would be like, what is this 70s looking nonsense? We're not going to watch this.
Also, because it would break the rule of the TV series Gundams where the main character has to get in the main Gundam in the first episode.
Well, he... Okay, I was going to say he kind of does that, but that's the G-Quux would be the main Gundam. The Red Gundam is sort of a secondary Gundam.
And Char isn't the main character, even though he is.
He can't help but be them. He's not even there and he's still a main character because that's just his nature.
The eye catch is that they replicate from the original Gundam where it ends with Shaw.
I got such a kick out of those.
He was always saying his name. Yes.
I enjoyed those so much.
Okay, so was he like somehow reincarnated or transferred into like a teenage girl?
No.
No?
Okay, because I'm just thinking, she has red hair.
That's true. Well,
but Char's a blonde.
Well, yeah, but he paints all this stuff red.
But
so
likes,
if he's like,
I know, but no.
Like, if his soul has ended up in this teenage girl,
also, because,
he would have to, like, repaint her.
Machu's, like, 15 or 16. This is only 5 years later.
Apparently she's 17 somehow. I looked that up.
Weird. Very tiny 17.
And her and Neon are both 17. I'm like, how is that possible? They're so small.
So they would have been 12 when all this stuff happened.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this is like a teen situation from Agatha All Alone.
Yeah, I was also exactly thinking that. Thinking that exactly. Machu had some sort of horrible accident just at the same time that Char was Zeknova-ing. And...
Exactly. But I guess that's not what happened.
No.
Okay, then.
No, Char was not isekai'd into a small girl that we know of.
I mean, that seems like a thing that could happen.
It does seem like a thing that could happen.
Maybe not a thing that happens on Gundam. I don't know. It's kind of more on the hard sci-fi side.
It is a little more. It veers a bit into, like, the whole psychic woo kind of stuff, but is in general a lot more solid than that.
I think there is a Gundam isekai, but I forget. Like who they get shoved into.
No isekais.
Somebody who, once again, didn't leave themselves locked. Just left the keys in their own ignition.
Yeah. Was it one of the Tri-Stars, maybe?
Oh, no. Why would you do that? They die. Or is that you mean they die and then...
Well, no, that's the thing. Like, someone from our world who knows what happens so they can change fate.
So, like, Ortega and MASH.
There's a Dragon Ball manga isekai where somebody becomes Yamcha.
That seems really unfortunate.
And actually fucking trains so Yamcha doesn't suck.
Nice.
Yamcha, yeah.
He's the one that dies in a crater.
He's the one who's just...
Does he have three eyes?
No, that's Tien.
He's the one who's just a normal human who hangs around with them, except not the short one, the other one.
It's not Krillin, just there's another guy.
Yeah.
He's just like a random dude.
Just a guy. Yeah. He dated Bulma for a while. Which is honestly probably the only reason they let him hang around. He's just Bulma's ex. Gaia, all Ortega, right. And MASH. That's the Black Tri-Stars.
Wait, is there a Gundam guy named MASH?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is he like a field medic?
No.
No.
He's just a pilot.
Is he always doing like a Groucho Marx impression while he's operating his Gundam or something?
That would be great, but no. No, he's got a dome, which is... They're so great.
Oh yeah, MASH is the one with the scar.
So yeah, we are all caught up now. You have seen the past. What has gotten this point?
So now it's time to find out what happens next in Machu in Clan Battle.
And now you understand why Shalia is pining for Char this whole time.
Yes.
Oh yeah, that wine scene, that's...
Oh man, that's...
Such gay energy.
It's really gay. I mean, like, Amuro and Char end up having a lot of, like, shippable energy going on once they actually, like, meet each other and communicate. Yeah. So, with Amuro not being a part of the picture here, Char had to imprint on some other twink.
Yeah. Well, because... I'm not sure Char felt gay in the original Gundam, except when he was at Amuro. He just, like, he got shipped a lot by Fujoshi, and that's what kept the fandom alive, by shipping Char and Amuro.
Foppish, but...
Yes, foppish.
Yeah.
Okay, there was Garma.
Like...
It's that Predator handshake meme for Gundam, and one side is Fujoshi, and one is guys who, like, make model kits.
Yes, literally. Yes. That's what kept the fandom alive. That's how they got the second series eventually.
It was the Kirk and Spock of Gundam.
Yes.
Yeah, some people like the space stuff. Some people want them to fuck.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting. So now I kind of know what's going on. And
you have a better idea of what's going on, at least.
Yes.
How we got here.
But I still know that there is a massive ton of Gundam lore that I'm not fully getting here, but that's to be expected.
Yeah. There's so much. There's so much.
And yeah, like, most of it doesn't really feel like it's like, oh, hey, look, there's that thing. Even though there is that, most of it plays into the story.
Yeah, most of it. I'm really surprised there's a character who shows up in another episode or two, I think in like two more episodes, who really seems like she would be somebody, but she's not, which is interesting.
Oh.
The one with the white hair?
No, the lady.
Lady. Oh!
She feels really like she's supposed to be Mirai, but she's not Mirai.
Oh, right. The
pilot.
Yeah.
Yeah, the one who was a Fetty pilot. The one who's got the Gelgoog.
Yeah, she does very much feel like it's like, you're supposed to be somebody.
Yeah, but she's not actually. But then most of the other people who feel like they're supposed to be somebody are actually somebody. I mean, not Do.
Or I guess she exists because Amuro doesn't exist, so... Some Fetty pilots had to fill the void.
Yes. I suppose Do, when she shows up, is just two generations removed from four.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, because Do, too.
It's crazy. Zeta Gundam is just a harem anime. I'm just saying. it's just entirely crazy women. It's just entirely unhinged women latching onto this poor 15-year-old boy.
Fa is only half crazy.
Which I guess is kind of what high school was like.
Yeah.
Because I realized Tomino feels that every teenage boy has to have an absolute harridan of a childhood friend.
Yeah.
Who just, like, nags them constantly and is utterly insufferable to them.
It's quite a while before Tomino works out his issues with women once he has daughters that are old enough to probably talk to him and explain, holy shit, you're an idiot.
Holy shit, Dad, what even was Zeta Gundam? What's wrong with you? Zeta Gundam's gen... I mean, the thing is, like, it doesn't feel like it's on purpose because all the women involved are perfectly good pilots. It's just a lot of Camille going, women are too emotional for things, and then running off and doing some dumb shit thing because of his feelings.
And also women changing sides as if they're traitors
because
in a way.
Char won't date them because Char is too busy being gay for Amuro.
Yeah, what the fuck? And women being attracted to the worst guys.
Yeah.
Pactimus Scirocco.
Women. He's a cult leader. He is just straight up a cult leader. He is just absolutely... Like, I have listened to podcasts about cults, and he is a cult leader. But,
well, which does make him a nice balance against Camille, who's the opposite.
Yes.
Camille is just trans mask.
Yeah, I can see that. But all the crazy girls. So many crazy women.
So I'm interested to see that now that we've seen what happened, now that we can see what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yes. Now that you have a better idea of what exactly is going on. I will say that it takes a few episodes, but the stuff with Cassilia and Girin does end up playing big into the series. So that will be relevant. That will be on the test, so to speak.
Okay.
And some of the other random characters we mentioned we'll come back to.
Yes.
Because they died in the original.
Yeah. Justice for Denim and Slender and Jean. They get to live.
Yeah, they survived the war, as far as we know.
Yeah, they get to live. So that's nice. I hope Amuro is off having a nice, happy, normal life. Also, you got to see the original Haro.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and that's the little robot thing?
Yes.
Yeah, in the original Gundam, it's green. In G-Quax, it's white. And the white one's actually smaller, I recently found out. It's weird. Yeah.
I really need them to sell one that's a Bluetooth speaker.
Yeah.
Because under the toque, it's got, like, speakers.
Yeah, because the original one has arms there. The white one just has speakers.
Yes. So they need to make that as a product I can buy, because I need it.
It comes with the hat.
Haro originates all the way back in the first episode of the original series.
Yes, I watched the whole thing.
Haro, yeah. Haro, Genki, Haro. Oh, I love it when he walks upstairs. He's a little limpy style. It's so cute. Yeah. He does much better in zero gravity. Anyway.
So that should do us for Superhuman Samurai Cyberpod this month. We'll be back next month with more of my co-hosts explaining stuff about Gundam to me.
Yay!
And we'll be back next week with more Rescue Bots Academy action.
Now, next...
Yeah, we're going back to the normal Rescue Bots.
The next episode, I think, is reasonably light on, like, deep Gundam lore stuff, so that should be a little...
Okay.
Yeah, because it's all new gentler stuff and fighting. Yeah. Yeah, this is... We could have gone so much deeper into this episode referencing the old stuff. I just didn't feel like watching all the episodes I would have to reference it. Although, people have already made compilations of the comparisons of, hey, they reproduced this scene or reused this line.
Yes. One shall stand and one shall fall.
Yeah. It doesn't happen as often in Gundam, so it's not quite as annoying.
We'll be back next week with more Rescue Bots action. And until then, you can find us all over the internet. We are on We are on Twitter. We are on Mastodon. We are on Blue Sky, and we have a Patreon.
Yes, we are.
And don't you do Facebook? We barely use the Twitter.
Right? Yeah, so. I'm not sure if the Facebook is still functioning properly because I deleted the account it was associated with, and I'm not sure.
Not sure if
that
Facebook
got...
period is still functioning. To be honest.
Yeah,
it's just all Minions memes.
I really just follow the local stuff so I can see when somebody's found a loose goat. yes, we are hosted on iaconunderground.net, where we have a Patreon set up to help with hosting and other expenses. That is patreon.com/iaconunderground. As soon as we wrap up this, we are going to record an episode about Captain America Brave New World, which I went back and watched the old Incredible Hulk movie, so I would know what's going on here, because I had actually, that was like the one, that and Inhumans were the only Marvel things.
Eternals.
No, Inhumans.
Okay.
I mean, things that I had not actually, Marvel MCU things I had not actually watched.
I thought you meant that they were the things that referenced in the movie.
No, I have watched Eternals a couple times, but I had not watched that Incredible
Hulk.
Yeah, we
did a podcast on it.
And I did not watch Inhumans. I watched like two episodes and I was like, okay, I'm going to go watch Runaways or something. So unfortunately, I'm not looking forward to Doomsday actually being about ants and mounts, Black Bolts, and...
Oh.
That was... Two episodes was enough for me to know what was going on with... the Doctor Strange movie, so.
I mean, he's the best part of that. He's the only part they've ever referenced.
yeah, that's fair. But
bring
yes,
back Lockjaw.
We will be discussing Brave New World, and probably with a significant digression on James Buchanan Barnes' political career.
Yeah. I forgot he was supposed to be in the movie.
Oh, that must have been a nice surprise. I definitely did not forget. Look, I am just a humble Stucky shipper. I'm here along for the ride. So yes, that is as little as $1 a month on our Patreon.
All right, so until next time, I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
And I'm somewhere in the sea of stars. I'm David.
I love Mirai. She's the best.